Very good morning, children. Today I am going to teach a new topic, civil disobedience movement from nationalism in India, history class 10 in module number 3/4. Mahatma Gandhi started the second mass movement, that is the civil disobedience movement, in 1930 with a salt march from Sabarmati Ashram to Dandi Coast. Let us see first some of the events which had taken place after the non-cooperation movement, which necessitated the civil disobedience movement. Swarajya Party, or the Congress Khilafat Swarajya Party, was set up by Motilal Nehru and C.R. Das in 1923. They were tired of mass struggles and wanted to participate in elections to the provincial councils that had been set up by the Government of India Act of 1919. They felt that it was important to oppose British policies within the councils, argue for reform, and also demonstrate that these councils were not truly democratic. They also wanted to keep the anti-British spirit of the people alive, since non-cooperation movement was suspended. But young leaders within the Congress, like Jawaharlal Nehru and Subhash Chandra Bose, pressed for more radical mass agitations and complete independence. In the 1920s, two factors really shaped the Indian politics. What were they? Number one, worldwide economic depression, and number two, the Simon Commission. Let us see now number one, world economic depression. What it did? Agricultural prices began to fall from 1926 and collapsed after 1930. As the demand for agricultural goods fell and exports declined, peasants found it difficult to sell their harvest and pay their revenue. Now the second factor, the Simon Commission. It was appointed by the British government and came to India in February 1928. It was appointed to look into the working of the Government of India Act of 1919 and to suggest further reforms in the system of administration. The members of the commission were all Englishmen, and not a single Indian was included in it. It led to Simon Go Back agitation. Now let us see about the Simon Commission. What was it? It was a statutory commission set up by the British under Sir John Simon. It was asked to study the constitutional system in India and suggest changes. But this Simon Commission was opposed from the date of appointment by the Congress. Why did they oppose? They opposed the Simon Commission because all the members of the commission were Englishmen. There were no Indians in it. And the second reason, if you see, means it did not provide any hope of Swaraj to Indians. So the Congress and the Indian people opposed tooth and nail the Simon Commission. Now I have given a picture of Sir John Simon and another picture on Simon Go Back agitation go through. Now, immediately, in order to show the protest, a movement was started against Simon Commission. There were mass protests, hartals, and black flag demonstrations all over the country. People were chanting the slogan, "Simon Go Back." Anti-Simon committees were formed. In Lahore, Lala Lajpat Rai, who was leading the demonstration against Simon Commission was beaten to death. Now, in the year 1929, a Congress session was held at Lahore under the presidentship of Jawaharlal Nehru. This session is historically a significant one. It passed three important resolutions, or we can say three important decisions were taken in this session of the Congress. The first decision or resolution, the attainment of complete independence. It was declared in this session that the chief goal of the Indian National Congress was the attainment of complete independence. The second resolution or decision, if you see, means it was decided to launch the civil disobedience movement under the leadership of Mahatma Gandhi to get the complete independence. The third resolution, it was decided in this session to celebrate 26 January 1930 as the Independence Day all over the country. Because of its significance, the same day was chosen as the Republic Day of India. Now, let us see about the developments that led to the civil disobedience movement. Indians launched a powerful struggle against the Simon Commission. The government resorted to repression. The second one, if you see, means Great Depression made the life of the people highly miserable. Lahore conspiracy case and Meerut conspiracy case against the Indian leaders created discontentment among the Indians. Then Lahore session of the Congress declared Purna Swaraj as its aim and decided to launch the civil disobedience movement. Gandhiji inaugurated the movement by breaking the salt law at Dandi. Now, let us see the salt march. Gandhiji decided to start the civil disobedience movement by breaking the salt law. Gandhiji and 78 followers started a march on foot from Sabarmati Ashram to Dandi Coast. They reached Dandi. Gandhiji prepared salt by using seawater, broke the salt law, and inaugurated the movement. The government imposed heavy tax on salt. Moreover, the production of salt was the monopoly of the government. So, the price of the salt was very high. Therefore, Gandhiji opposed the salt law. Now, we have to see here, why did Mahatma Gandhi choose salt as a medium of protest against the British? Mahatma Gandhi found in salt a powerful symbol that could unite the nation. On 31st January 1930, he sent a letter to Viceroy Irwin stating 11 demands. The most stirring of all was the demand to abolish the salt tax. Salt was something consumed by the rich and the poor alike, and it was one of the most important essential items of food. The tax on salt and the government monopoly over its production revealed the most oppressive face of British rule. Now I have given as a supporting document some pictures related to salt march. Please go through. Now let us see about the mass character of the civil disobedience movement. Thousands in different parts of the country broke the salt law, manufactured salt, and demonstrated in front of government salt factories. As the movement spread, foreign cloth was boycotted and liquor shops were picketed. Peasants refused to pay revenue and chowkidari taxes. Village officials resigned, and in many places forest people violated forest laws, going into reserved forest to collect wood and graze cattle. When Khan Abdul Ghaffar Khan, a devoted disciple of Mahatma Gandhi, was arrested in April 1930, angry crowds demonstrated in the streets of Peshawar, facing armored cars and police firing. Many were killed. When Mahatma Gandhi himself was arrested, industrial workers in Sholapur attacked police posts, municipal buildings, law courts and railway stations, all structures that symbolized British rule. A frightened government responded with a policy of brutal repression. Peaceful satyagrahis were attacked, women and children were beaten, and about 1 lakh people were arrested. All the above mentioned points show the mass character of the movement. Now, what are the main contributions? The civil disobedience movement contributed what? First one, this movement was the first mass struggle against the British to win Purna Swaraj or complete independence. It was based on non-violent satyagraha. Gandhian ideas were widely followed by all the people. Women participated in large numbers in this movement. It was a real mass movement because different social groups participated on their own. It was an open challenge to the British rule, and the people openly disobeyed the laws. When the civil disobedience movement reached its peak, on 5th March, Gandhiji suddenly called off the civil disobedience movement, because on 5th March, Gandhiji entered into a peace pact with Lord Irwin. According to the pact signed between Gandhiji and Irwin, Gandhiji consented to participate in the second roundtable conference, and the government agreed to release all the political prisoners, and Mahatma Gandhi also accepted to call off the civil disobedience movement. What was it? The Gandhi-Irwin Pact was signed in 1931. It was signed between Mahatma Gandhi and Lord Irwin. Who was Irwin? He was the Viceroy. What are the main terms? Number one, Gandhiji accepted to call off the civil disobedience movement. Second one, he accepted to participate the second roundtable conference. And the third one, the assurance was given by the government that to release all the political prisoners. The government agreed to release all the political prisoners. In December 1931, Gandhiji went to London for the second roundtable conference. The conference held was unprofitable, as nothing fruitful came out of it for India. Now, let us see about the second roundtable conference. As I told you in the previous slide, Gandhi-Irwin Pact was signed on 5th March 1931, and according to that, Gandhiji consented to participate in a roundtable conference in London. And in December 1931, Gandhiji went to London to attend the second roundtable conference, and the negotiations broke down, so he returned disappointed. Now, after the failure of the second roundtable conference, Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted to restart the civil disobedience movement. So, after returning to India, Mahatma Gandhi discovered that the government had begun new cycle of repression. Ghaffar Khan and Jawaharlal Nehru were both in jail. The Congress had been declared illegal. A series of measures had been imposed to prevent meetings, demonstrations and boycotts. So, all these factors forced Mahatma Gandhi to relaunch the civil disobedience movement by 1934. bad, it lost its momentum. Now, within the civil disobedience movement, there were differences. What were they? Let us see. First one, people refused to cooperate with the government during the non-cooperation movement. But people broke the laws during the civil disobedience movement. Second point, Muslims participated in large numbers in the non-cooperation movement, but Muslim participation was less in the civil disobedience movement. No tax campaign was not there in non-cooperation movement. Now in the civil disobedience movement, people refused to pay taxes. Now, let us see the causes for the failure of civil disobedience movement. The civil disobedience movement was called off without the fulfillment of the demand of the rich peasant communities. When the movement was relaunched, many rich peasant communities decided not to join the civil disobedience movement. The Congress was unwilling to support the no rent campaigns due to the fear of upsetting the rich peasants and landlords. Fourth point, the spread of militant activities, worries of prolonged business disruptions, growing influences of socialism amongst the young Congress members, and the failure of a roundtable conference led to the withdrawal of the support to the movement by the business class. Industrial workers did not participate in the civil disobedience movement except in Nagpur. The Dalits, the so-called untouchables, did not participate as the Congress sided with the conservative high-caste Hindus. Muslim organizations and the communities also sparsely participated in this movement. The Muslims alienated from the movement due to the fear of the dominance of the Hindu majority. So, from the above said points, we can understand that the causes for the failure of the civil disobedience movement. That's all. Thank you.